Let's continue reading verses 19 through 30 of Romans chapter 8. In these verses, we learn that all of creation awaits a glorious future. And we also learn that God's ultimate purpose in our lives is to conform us to the image of Christ. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Once again, let's begin with some background notes now for this section in Romans 8. There's a lot of truth packed into these 12 verses, isn't there? Taken together, the overwhelming thrust of this section of Romans 8 is that God is in complete control of everything. And he has a wonderful purpose for everything, and nothing can thwart God's purpose. Although it may seem like things are out of control in this universe or in our lives, nothing is out of God's control. There are no maverick molecules in this universe. And there are no chance events in our lives. You don't have to worry about some asteroid coming and colliding with Earth and wiping everything out. If that happens, God planned it. God is in control. God is working out his glorious plan and purpose for the universe, and God is working out his glorious plan and purpose for your life as well. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this passage in Romans 8 to be one of great comfort and encouragement. And so much more we could say just on the background. We need to move to the doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one. The creation groans awaiting the revealing of the sons of God. The creation groans awaiting the revealing of the sons of God. Verse 22, we read, For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. What does it mean that the creation groans? Look around you. Even though the heavens still declare the glory of God, Psalm 19, verse 1, yet there is disease, there is decay, there is death, even violent death. There is natural disaster. The second law of thermodynamics is at work. The universe is becoming more disordered and dying a slow death. But it wasn't always that way. Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Notice it was God who allowed his own perfect creation to be subjected to futility. Why? Romans 5:12 gives the answer. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Death and dying entered this world because of man's sin. The trees didn't sin. The elephants and cows didn't sin. Man sinned. And God allowed the results of man's sin to affect the rest of creation. So all of creation groans at the present time, but it won't be that way forever. Praise the Lord. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. When will this be? Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The idea here in this verse is that creation is standing on its tiptoes in anticipation. The labor and the birth pangs have already begun. Verse 22, the revealing of the sons of God with glory, as verse 18 says, will be when the Lord returns, and ultimately when all things are subjected to him. What a great day that will be. But right now, the creation groans, awaiting the revealing of the sons of God. Doctrinal point number two. The Christian groans, awaiting the redemption of the body. The Christian groans, awaiting the redemption of the body. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So here we have a second groaning. We ourselves groan. Why do we groan, awaiting the redemption of the body? Is it because we're getting old and we don't have the energy that we used to? Is it because we can no longer play sports the way we used to in our younger days? It's all aches and pains now. We can't even see the ball that's thrown to us. Is it because of sickness and heart problems and loss of memory? Well, all of these things are part of the groaning because they can all be traced back to the effects of sin. But the main idea here is that we groan because of our sinful human natures, which we still have, even as believers. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, verse 23, as a promise of what's to come. But right now we groan because of indwelling sin. How many can identify with this groaning because of sin? Well, guess what? There's coming a time when you won't have to groan because of indwelling sin. We look forward to the redemption of our bodies. In glory, we will have bodies not subject to sin, nor to the effects of sin. You won't even have to worry about having bad thoughts about that brother or sister that you don't get along with. You will automatically love them. No more groaning in any way. And it's a sure hope, as verses 24 and 25 indicate. That's when the adoption process as mature sons and daughters in the family of God will be complete. But right now, the Christian groans awaiting the redemption of the body. And doctrinal point number three, the Comforter groans awaiting the reality of God's purpose. The Comforter groans awaiting the reality of God's purpose. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Note, by the way, in verse 26, it's the Spirit himself, not itself. The Holy Spirit is a person of the triune Godhead. The Holy Spirit is God. So here's the third groaning in this section of Romans 8. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Notice that we have two intercessors praying for us. In verse 34, we read that the Lord Jesus, who is even now at the right hand of God, makes intercession for us. And here we see that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. So we have one intercessor in heaven, and we have one intercessor in us. Now, do you think those prayers are answered, especially since they are according to the will of God? Verse 27. Of course they are. The triune God is for us. Now, what is the primary focus of the Spirit's groanings? Verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses or infirmities. Now, is that the aches and pains that we have? or the times of sickness? Probably not. The word here is really singular, our weakness or our infirmity, and probably refers again to our sinful nature. That's the root of our problem. Because of indwelling sin, we don't pray as we ought. We don't even know what we should pray for as we ought. Verse 26. Sometimes we even pray out of the will of God. I've heard Christians even pray against one another or ask for things which are clearly out of the will of God. Well, how wonderful it is to know that the Holy Spirit within us is praying for us the right way. Notice his groanings are beyond our expression in speech. But they're real and effective with God because they are in line with God's ultimate purpose for our lives, to make us holy and perfect, and that will become a reality in the future. The words of the hymn writer come to mind at this point. And is it so? I shall be like thy son. Is this the grace which he for me has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to his own blessed likeness brought. The Comforter groans, awaiting the reality of God's purpose. And finally, practical application. Don't forget Romans 8, 29 and 30. Don't forget Romans 8, 29 and 30. We often quote Romans 8, 28, but we often forget verses 29 and 30. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Notice, it doesn't say that all things are good. Not all things are good. God, in his sovereign ways, can work everything together for good, even car accidents or stock market crashes. God can work it all together for good. But now, what is the good of Romans 8:28? Is it good health? Is it fame and fortune? No, the answer is in verses 29 and 30. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. That's the good of Romans 8:28. It's to be conformed to the image of God's own Son. It's to be more Christ-like and complement his glory as his brethren. That's God's ultimate purpose for every believer. We were foreknown and predestined for that very purpose. Verse 29. We were called of God and justified in line with that purpose. Verse 30. And eventually, we will be glorified according to that purpose. Verse 30. What a wonderful chain of redemption. All things are working toward that good goal in your life if you're a believer here this morning. This is the good of Romans 8:28. So don't forget Romans 8:29 and 30.